Wrestling with Martin Bester.
There's a book out, Hunting with the Hawks by Graham Kutzer, not Kutzer. Graham in studio with us. Thanks again for your time, Graham. And also a very special guest, former SAPS Colonel Gideon Jones, who was at in the SAPS for 19 years, heading up undercover operations. And that's very much also what this book is about. It's not just about the criminal. It's also about how incredibly organized you need to be as a police force to uncover it and to bust it. And that sometimes takes time. And that's where the sense of hopelessness sometimes comes in with us, because it feels like nothing is being done. Meanwhile, it takes a long time for things to be done. And then when they are bust, these rings and these syndicates are massive. Then you've made a massive, massive difference. Before I move on from the sex trafficking chapter or Madame Project, as it's called in the book, that must be a very delicate and very tough one to deal with in the police. I mean, you guys are to a larger degree desensitized, Colonel. But even when you're dealing with children and that kind of thing, must be unbelievably difficult.
Yeah, personally, I can say that I didn't really deal with children myself in my work in the police. But I can't see myself dealing with it.
Yeah.
You must be a special kind of person to investigate matters like this,
sure,
and still keep your faith in humankind,
yeah,
if I can put it that way.
Yes.
And still function.
Business.
Yeah.
Normal function normally.
Mm. I think a lot of people misunderstand, because it comes in the news all the time, sex trafficking, and they steal children, they steal people. What does it mean? What are we dealing with here in short?
You know what, Martin, what I found out looking at cases like these is it's not what you'd see in the movies most often. It's not someone being kidnapped off a street corner and it's some middle-class, upper-class woman, etc., etc. What typically happens, these guys are clever, and it comes back to organized crime. They know their jobs. So they're looking for people who are vulnerable, who they can prey on. So the kind of victim they're going to choose won't necessarily even be kidnapped and kept in slavery. What they'd most typically do is find someone who's had a really bad background, a young girl, she's had a horrible home life, she's out on the streets. They'll offer a place to stay, friendship, drugs, slowly but surely. It's always drugs come into it. And once they've got her hooked, they can do with her as they please. No need to keep her chained up as you would think of it in your mind. She's literally chained by that addiction. What they also do to them is they put them in debt bondage, which is a big part of proving trafficking in our courts. And that means that whatever money she's making as a sex worker, she'll never get out of debt.
Gotcha.
She's always owing these horrible people.
Mm.
She always owes money. So whatever money she's making, it's all going straight back to them. And that really is trafficking. It's a really terrible crime.
The chapter about the rhino horn, the illicit rhino horn trade, and the bust that was made there and the people that ended up in jail, for me just reminded me how large, how enormous the scale is of these operations. You're talking about people that operate here in South Africa, different levels of people, the person who would do the poaching, the person who would sell the horn, the person from the foreigner that will then, you know, trafficking back to other countries, but also the money involved, That's, and then you touched on it in the book as well, saying it's not a justification, but sometimes it makes you understand better why there are so many corrupt
Got
people.
Got you.
Corrupt people, it must take a very strong, good person in life, because there are more people that are not corrupt than there are people that are corrupt.
Yes.
Okay, there are people that give in to these temptations of money and stuff. And yes, it's going to make your life better. But please, can we understand that there are more South Africans that say no to it?
Thank you. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
There are more park officials that say no to it.
Yes.
There are more policemen and women that say no to the temptation.
We have everyday struggles.
Just like us. Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course, an odd million or two here is going to make a difference in your life and children at school and blah, blah, blah. But there are more that say no.
Yeah.
Mm.
And unfortunately, it's not always those that make the news. But the chapter about the rhino and how long it took and how meticulous, and by the way, that undercover agent
brilliant. Yeah.
That had to go and deal with these people, because you must at some point think to yourself, I'm signing up for this job. I'm going to be the undercover agent. Then you realize, my friend, you are in it.
Yeah.
No. You are now so in it, and you're talking about ruthless people that'll take you out in no time, right? Mm. Graham?
I think so scary, that kind of work. So in carte blanche, I've done some of that kind of undercover stuff, nowhere near what the police does. But I can tell you from experience, it's scary. One of the cases I did was, we were trying to prove that people were dealing drugs in Rosettenville, and they were really kind of hardcore guys. And you go in with a little hidden camera, and I can promise you, it feels like that hidden camera is the size of
a billboard.
Yeah, a billboard. Yeah, yeah. Your own. And you are nervous. There is no there's no backup. And when it gets to police cases, even more so. Because that guy's in there, he's in with these rhino poachers, he knows they're a dangerous syndicate. He's pretending to be a corrupt parks official, a sand parks official. If anyone there finds out what you do up to is working for the police, it's game over. It's as simple as that. We see it in our headlines every day. You see a hit happening, it's something to do with this kind of underworld.
And then the guy drinking, I'm like, yeah, I can't drink it. I take a paar doppe and I'm like,
yo.
I'm going to get back here.
Op
in front of the stadium.
The problem is that guy has to go home. He's also got another life.
It's insane.
Wife, children.
Sure.
And I think to be sane in keep those two things juggling.
Yeah.
And then you're being an undercover, and also then live a different life and live a lie, probably.
Do they generally tell their families, look, I'm going on a job? No, I mean, not what they're doing, but
detailed.
Yeah, but I'm going on a job and I won't see you in 6 months.
Yeah, I've seen it. You have to, because that's your support mechanism.
Okay.
Yeah, your main support mechanism is basically your family. And if you don't have support, you can fall off the wagon yourself.
Gotcha.
So it's better to have people who support you. If you alienate them to what you're doing, they're actually not there to support you. They don't understand and know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Who's more ruthless and dangerous? People in these syndicate rings and stuff, or what other criminals there? You get the organized crime, and then you get the...
I think we can't make a distinction. Criminals by definition, and especially criminals that in the violent sphere of crime, they've got basically the same approach to it. They will kill you or not kill you.
Has crime in this country become more violent?
Much more so. I think in my time it was less dangerous. I think it's become more dangerous.
Why?
The consequences of your actions. If, let's, and again, I don't want to go historically back, but let's say 30, 40 years ago, the chances of being arrested, even if you get arrested for murder, you can perhaps get death penalty. And I'm not saying death penalty is
the answer.
Is the answer. What I'm saying is the risk of being caught, number one,
okay,
is a lot less. And then secondly, the consequences of going to prison.
Mm.
In other words, your gain, so much more to gain than the risk involved.
Where's the bigger challenge, the police force or the judicial system?
Both. But I think the biggest challenge is not actually the system. The biggest challenge is the people of the country. Because organized crime cannot happen if it's the participants,
yeah,
which is the community,
yeah,
allows
okay
it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because these criminals and these rings and these syndicates, they go somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm. And more often than not, in where they live and where they operate, people know exactly who they are and what they do.
So when you ask people, why don't you tell police about criminal activity in your area? They will more than likely say, ugh, what's going to happen?
No, I don't think that's that might be part of it, but I think the moral compass of society is not correct. We don't feel obliged to, number one, not do something wrong, and number two, when we see something is wrong, to do something about it. We don't.
Okay.
But we allow it.
I suppose if you look at Pablo Escobar in Colombia, he uplifted Medellin so to speak. So with his profits from all his drug money, he was uplifting his own community. Why would I turn my back on the person who's helping me feed my children or that's borrowing me money, even though how he's doing it is completely corrupt?
I don't know if they are that giving. I don't know if they are.
Lots of communities, the families, the recipients of the concert, of the
in their pocket.
Yeah, but you buy support.
You buy support.
And silence.
And silence.
This is not the first time I've heard somebody in policing say that the ultimate goal can't be more policing. No. It has to be less. We have to self-police.
Exactly.
Ideally, we want a very small police force. Mm.
I think an effective police is not necessarily a police that's more numerous. An effective police, a police will only be effective. We have the police that we deserve as a community. That's it.
Where does this moral compass come from? Community leaders? Is it further up? Is it? Are people starting to look at governments and things, saying, "Well, listen, there are too many stories of you filling pockets. Maybe that's the way to go." I know it's a much bigger conversation than I wanted for right now, but while we're there, Graham, you've seen a lot. You've investigated a lot.
You know what? It is one of those really tricky questions, but isn't it a worldwide trend right now? I mean, it does feel like it sometimes, that there's so many. We get bogged down with our issues, but it's not going all that much better in the United States, in the UK, in any of these countries right now. So I do think we need to be examining, as society, we need to be examining that moral compass. What is right? What is wrong? Where does social media fit into all of this? And that's my own little thing. But It really is a tricky one, but we can't expect, and I fully agree with that one. The police are not going to solve the crime situation on their own.
However, I will say this though: when you read a book like this, Hunting for the with the Hawks, when you read about the success story, when they do uncover and they do bust organized crime syndicates and criminals, it does give you a little bit of a motivation, maybe coming back to your comment about the moral compass. It does kind of give you a little bit more hope and motivation that it does not always pay.
Mm. No,
in fact, and when it goes wrong for those criminals, it is over. Mm. They are serving life sentences because we hear a lot of people saying, oh, what's going to happen next? They hear today, next day on the street. No.
Criminal wants to be caught.
No criminal wants to be caught, and trust me, they do get caught. And if when you read this book, when those syndicates get caught, jy praat van 'n hele klomp mense. Jy praat van partykeer tot 100 mense.
Sure.
Wat kan tronk toe gaan en wat tronk toe gaan for life.
Yeah.
That stay there for a very, very long time. Anyway, so I'm going to touch on one more chapter, almost an episode. It's like a movie. I'm going to touch on one more chapter, and that's the chapter where they got it right for the moment to steal more than 100 million rand in a heist. You want to know what goes into that? That's one thing. You know, it goes into catching all of those people and to get a lot of that money back. That's another thing.
This is Breakfast with Martin Bester, Jacaranda FM.